Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Edward Looney, part one. He'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Edward Looney, who's written a new book on Lent called Praying with the Church Through Lent. And it's a great guide to help us really prepare and enter into the Lenten spirit to enrich our lives and really seek those graces from God.
Father Edward's been on EWTN a number of times. He's a Mariologist. He's done work at, on Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin. He's a pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Shawano, Wisconsin as well. So now we're going to a reflection with Father Ed Looney.
Have you ever listened to the prayer at Mass where the priest says, "Let us pray"? During the season of Lent, there are special prayers every day, and here's one of them. This is from the Friday of Sorrows, right before Holy Week. It's a prayer directed to Our Lady. O God, who in this season give your church the grace to imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin Mary in contemplating the Passion of Christ, grant, we pray, through her intercession, that we may cling more firmly each day to your only begotten Son and come at last to the fullness of his grace. In that prayer, we ask that we might imitate devoutly the Blessed Virgin in contemplating the Passion of Jesus. As you pray the Stations of the Cross during the season of Lent, might be one of the things you want to do, to simply walk the stations with Our Lady, to think about how she was present as Jesus was condemned to death, how she was there when Jesus looks for her and he meets his mother along the way, how maybe she was there among those women in the eighth station where Jesus consoles the women, and how she was there as Jesus says, "Behold your mother." For each one of us, as we seek to imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary, we can imitate St. John too, by taking Mary into our own homes, into our own lives, so that we might reflect on the life of Jesus with him and with her and obtain eternal life.
Well, Father Looney, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Well, thanks so much for having me. You know, I watched Life on the Rock when I was a little kid.
Oh, really? Wow.
And so it's kind of like full circle. Here I am with you now.
And you were telling me a little bit before the show, you've been on many shows, How Much I've Enjoyed, Women of Grace, Bookmark, EWTN Live, but you finally made it.
Here we are, Life on the Rock.
So great. And you've written a number of books. You're a pretty accomplished author, but you've written a new one on Praying with the Church Through Lent. That's something we're going to be diving into, is just the whole Lenten season and the spirit. I've really enjoyed reading the book. It's very insightful, and I think our viewers and readers will get a lot out of it. But you've been in the priesthood how long now?
Yeah, I was ordained back on June 6th of 2015, so coming up on my 10th anniversary of ordination.
So in your priesthood, how do you actually approach Lent now? How has it changed since you've actually become a priest?
Yeah.
Is it more busy or?
Yeah, there's lots, you know. You lead devotions for the people, like the Stations of the Cross, try to make that accessible and such. One of the things I do as a priest is every year I try to read the Lenten homilies of some saint. Mm. You know, so one year it was St. Francis de Sales. I wrote my license thesis on St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Aelred of Ravaux. So I've read their Lenten sermons.
Wow.
Over the years. So, you know, St. Alphonsus Liguori has sermons. And so I try to like just see what the saints have said and maybe see how I can be edified by them. You know, there's something that I always will remember what St. Francis de Sales said about Lent, that he said that during the Lenten season, we as a church kind of take on a penance ourselves, that you know, we abstain from the Alleluia, that we abstain from the Gloria, and so our ears don't hear those songs and such. And so it's just always stayed with me that, and then we fast, of course, for Holy Communion for an hour. And, you know, we have the elongation of that fast throughout the season of Lent with whatever we abstain from.
Now, were those kind of older sermons, are they pretty lengthy?
I would say they're probably several pages, right? Yeah. So probably 7-10 pages. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot different than probably the sermons today or sermons that I would preach, right? And that's, you know, that's an interesting thing too, because, you know, you think about some of these feast days, like recently in the church, we had St. Agatha, for example. And you think about St. Agatha and in the office of readings, there's a homily from like St. Methodius of Milan. And you just think about it, like St. Methodius, first of all, he probably didn't think he was going to be a saint. Like he was striving for it, but never thought he'd be elevated to the altars of the church. He preached this homily on St. Agatha, but he probably never thought that in the year of our Lord, 2025, you and I would have read his homily in the breviary. And so I think these saints, you know, they would probably be dumbfounded by the fact that we're still finding inspiration in what they said. And, you know, I think that's a great call for all clergy today as we preach, that hopefully, you know, people 60 years from now can pull up our homilies, listen to them or whatever, and be inspired as we are by the saints today.
I think you just said something that was very key, because you were talking about St. Alphonsus, St. Francis, the St. Bernard of Clairvaux, these great spiritual writers, these bishops, these abbots, that really kind of led the church in very, in somewhat chaotic times. But there's a rich history there with our faith. You know, Lent isn't just something the church, you know, made up overnight, but it's something that it's drawn from, the prayers, the exercises, the experience, through all sorts of church history.
That's right.
So there's a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of practical, I think, spiritual weapons to really help us, you know, become better Catholics.
Yeah, two things there. So you said spiritual weapons. That's in the Ash Wednesday prayer. Our weapons of self-restraint is what the opening prayer, the collect at Mass, says on Ash Wednesday. And then, there's this great wealth in these prayers, as you mentioned.
Yeah. But one thing that actually caught my attention right off the bat was the book itself, the title, Praying with the Church Through Lent. Because sometimes we can be prone or tempted to just kind of believe in this me and God theology, nothing else in between. But why do we need the church? Why do we need to pray with the church? What's the significance behind that?
Yeah, so the church has a great language of prayer. And a lot of times when I recommend to people, like when they ask, how should I pray? I'm like, well, you know, learn from the saints, turn to the saints, you know, see how the saints prayed. I remember in the seminary just coming across St. Anselm, and he had this whole prayer book of prayers that he had written. And I think they can teach us the language of prayer. St. Faustina, open up the Diary of Divine Mercy. You see the language of prayer. So the saints are well formed in the tradition, but praying with the church is all about praying with the collect. So every day of Lent, the church is praying these prayers. And so just how does the church pray? What is the church praying for? We can learn a lot from the season of Lent just by looking at those prayers. And every day, it's kind of asking God for a special grace for that day, for that season of Lent. And, you know, earlier you said that Lent, you know, it's not something the church just created overnight. Well, Council of Nicaea is really when Lent first emerges, formalizes and whatnot. But there's been this long history of Lenten observance then throughout the church. And so the saints have lived through it. And these prayers, they're still with us now and retranslated about a decade ago now, a little more than that. But they're rich and if we listen, I think so often we might not listen to these prayers, but if we listen, we can learn a lot.
But I think even biblically, in looking into the life of our Lord, you know, we see 40.
Yeah, for sure.
We see it in the Old Testament. We especially see it in the New Testament with our Lord who goes out into the desert for 40 days. You know, it's a time of trial, of great temptation for him. And in many respects, we imitate that of what Christ, as he's walked before us, you know, and that's something that we enter into is his life. And we do that most especially during the liturgy. You know, and I think earlier too, you were saying that during Advent and Lent, that's kind of the only time where each collect prayer is specific to each day.
And yeah, so, that's right. So during these special seasons, so it's Advent, Lent, Christmas, and Easter, there's a special collect for every day. Otherwise, you know, ordinary time, we're as priests, as a priest, I would just repeat, you know, the one from Sunday, or I would choose a votive mass or a mass of various needs or occasion, dependent upon, you know, the readings, and maybe one kind of lines up with the readings or something like that. But every day of Lent, the church gives us a special prayer. Interesting too, in the season of Lent, there's a special prayer of blessing over the people that the priest can pray as well. I think it's optional, but maybe it's not optional. I'm like, why would I deprive the people of God of this prayer? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna pray this prayer over the people because the church has given it to us. So why would I not ask God to pour out his blessings in that way? But it just, again, makes Lent different. It sets it apart from all the other time of the year.
Yeah, one of the practices I've tried to pick up lately is actually just going through and just reading the collect prayer slowly, because it's a very rich prayer. It's short and simple, but it's very powerful. Most of the time it's beautifully written. And I just kind of love that structure of entering into that prayer itself. And it's something you can do. It takes 40 seconds, not even that.
yeah, and that's the whole purpose of the book. Was I was always mesmerized by the collect prayer, and I had the idea for the book for maybe 6-7 years, and I didn't want to write it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a Marian theologian. I write books about Mary, but I proposed the book to several other people, and they didn't write it. And finally, I said, well, I guess I'll write the book then. Nobody else will. But it was a great spiritual exercise for me to pray that prayer. And what speaks to you? So what speaks to me in the collect prayer might not be the same thing that strikes you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing my own like personal lexio on the collect as you do your lexio. And maybe what I say can help someone.
Yeah.
And but I just want people to be attentive to that prayer then. And, you know, every Sunday when I say that prayer at Mass, let us pray. And then I either chant the prayer or I recite the prayer. There's always a line, and sometimes I'll even try to emphasize the line that really calls out to me.
Yeah.
So we should turn our attention to it.
Yeah, well, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get into some of these prayers.
Happily.
Father, I wanted to ask, before you get in more into the collect prayers themselves, you've had this idea of writing this book for about 7 or 8 years, kind of pushed it off, but came back. What was the turning point? What made you actually just write it, say, no, this needs to be written?
Yeah, you know, you kind of, as a person that does a lot of writing and whatnot, you're always kind of like, what's the next project? Or I always have this list. I have a running list of like things that maybe I could do one day. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, I think this is the moment. This is the time. And, you know, the church retranslated these prayers back when I was in the seminary back in 2011. So we've lived with these prayers now for 15 years.
Yeah.
So I think drawing our attention back to them again, you know, I think a lot of time, like back at that time, people were just like, I don't like the language, I don't like the verbiage or whatever. But now we've prayed with it, mm-hmm. we've grown with it. And so now let's allow it to speak to us.
We become familiar with it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, as they're very poetic. They're very beautiful, as you mentioned earlier. And, you know, so as I wrote it, like praying the breviary, sometimes I use the old prayer because I don't have all the new ones, you know. And I found that the old prayer would enrich my understanding of the new prayer and that the new prayer would enrich the old. So it was kind of a mutual enriching experience with both texts.
Yeah. Now, the basic structure layout is that you go through the collect, then just the short kind of daily reflection, and then reflection questions. But as we know, like, you know, it begins with Ash Wednesday. And I think that's a very important collect to pay attention to. It's kind of the kickoff. It really kind of sets the tone. Can you read it for
us? Yeah, definitely. Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's a lot to unpackage there just in that collect.
Yeah.
Just some of the language that I think needs to be highlighted, because we talk about not just fasting, but holy fasting.
Yeah, right. So,
what's the difference there?
Yeah, so, you know, people talk about intermittent fasting all the time. Mm-hmm, you know, like, I'm a guy that could lose a little weight, right? So I should fast more, or I should do intermittent fasting. They say you lose a lot of weight, but if I just do it for the sake of health or whatever, well, that's a very worldly reason. But if I have fasting and I'm doing it with a holy purpose, I'm offering a reparation for my sins or the sins of the world, or if I'm attaching a spiritual meaning to it, like identifying with the hungry, the fact that Christ was in the desert, he fasted for 40 days, I'm mirroring my experience of Lent off of Christ. Well, if I give it a holy fasting, a holy principle to it, well, it makes it different. If I'm doing it for the Lord, hopefully I'll persevere. Mm-hmm. If I'm not doing it for the Lord, it's going to be very easy to give up. One time I wrote this column for a newspaper, for a secular newspaper. It was about Lent and the beginning of Lent. And I said, you know, it's kind of like a do-over on our New Year's resolutions. Like when New Year's Day comes, we make these resolutions, they fall off. Well, that's kind of the worldly fasting. But now here we are, Lent, it's a do-over. And now let's invite the Lord into it. And with the Lord, we can reach success.
Yeah. And I think another striking word in there that we can just kind of miss is that word campaign.
Yeah.
Because I always think of something like on a mission, you're oriented towards a goal.
Yeah.
And I just even remember from my own kind of experience in high school football, there's one year we had a particularly long season that we went kind of deep in the playoffs. But at one point, it's hard. Mentally, you're just like, do I even want to do this anymore? You're weary. You just feel kind of beat up. And I think in many ways we can feel that in the spiritual life, that I got to do this again. But really there's got to be this renewal aspect as well in our faith almost daily. You know, maybe I got to pray better. Maybe I have to fast better. Maybe, you know, I just need to give more time of myself to God and his graces, because ultimately that's what Lent is about, is really opening ourselves up to God to receive that love, to receive those graces that we most desperately need.
Definitely.
In so many ways. So I think just that perseverance in that image that so often the Bible provides for us of, you know, those who are kind of wandering in the desert or just the trials and temptations, I think that's so important to pay attention to.
Yeah, of course, the word campaign, as you reference, you know, we just came out of the political cycle, so maybe people think of a campaign in that way. But really, what I think the church has in mind here is kind of this militaristic mindset. And you catch it a little bit, you know, campaign of Christian service, battle against spiritual evils, armed with weapons of self-restraint. So the church really wants to bring out this battle imagery that, you know, Jesus in his, and we'll hear this on the first Sunday of Lent, that he's in the desert, he's being tempted by the evil one. And so because he was tempted, well, we're battling spiritual evils ourselves. And I think it's good for us to be reminded of that. It's gonna, you know, on a Friday of Lent, it'll be real easy for us to say, do I want to abstain from meat like the church wants me to? Or I'm going to this wedding, should I have meat or whatever? Should I ask for a dispensation? You know, But if we take up this battle against the spiritual evil and realize, well, that's the tempter trying to draw us away from the season, well, then we'll know that voice and we'll be able to reject it.
Yeah. And I think, too, just that context of, you know, being armed with weapons of self-restraint. Now, so often the enemy kind of takes the form of ourselves in many ways. We can be prone to pride or just whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's just something we have to be aware of, that we have to actually grow in that knowledge of who we are, you know, our strengths, our weaknesses, what talents and gifts God has given to us. And we are really to enter into that recollection and kind of meditate on these things of where, how God has worked through our lives, you know, and life is, it's up and down, you know, but in the end, he's going to see us through it. So.
Yeah, I think you see that in a lot of the different prayers with the different intentions that we ask God for. That the priest is praying on behalf of all the people and saying, oh God, you who did this, pour out your grace and abundance upon your people that they may reach their final destination, or whatever the prayer might say. but he's praying on behalf of all of us. Mm-hmm. And there's all of these graces every day then that we can become more aware of and start living with this spiritual mindset and spiritual eyesight.
And I think one of the strengths about this book is that it can really help us to make our Lent intentional, because so often we can just kind of go into it blindly or not prepared, yeah, or whatever. But to really make that act of Lent being intentional, I think it's so key. And this is a very good, I think, platform to build on. Mm. You know, you can bring it to Mass every morning or just have
That's
it
there. Right.
It's not, it doesn't take long to read the collect, these short daily reflections, and just the reflection questions themselves. And I think it would be a great benefit to so many people.
Yeah, a lot of people, they might not be able to go to daily Mass, but this brings the Mass into their life, mm-hmm, and how the Church is praying. And so they're able to kind of hear the voice of the Church throughout the Lenten season, yeah, in her prayers.
Well, Father, we've run out of time, but this is actually one show that we're doing. We're going to do two shows with you on this book. And it's just been a great read so far, and there's much more to dig into. So, Father, thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you.
One of the, I think, the big, I think, benefits to reading this book by Father Looney is that it will help us greatly to make our Lent intentional. And it's easy to kind of coast into it, like I said before, and just kind of be distracted or not follow through with, you know, maybe what we have desired or what we've committed ourselves to. But I think it's a great resource, whether we're able to make it to Mass or not, to really pray with the Church, to really enter into that liturgy, and to really just pray and open ourselves up to God.
I know what I love about Lent, it's the liturgy here. It's 40 days of preparation, mm-hmm, for Easter, as you all pointed out, for the Paschal mystery. And this comes out of the Church's practice, mm-hmm, right? And like different missals and things, ancient missals, these prayers come out of. And as every year as a priest, when I'm praying these, they always give me pause. Like sometimes at the last minute, I'll read, mm-hmm, it at Mass, and I'll put something from that in the homily. And as Father Edward mentioned too, they have a prayer of blessing over the people, mm-hmm, that's very powerful and beautiful. So, you know, we're joining ourselves in with, you know, those that went before us and lived and practiced the faith and the mm-hmm, Church on earth, the Church in heaven. We're uniting everything together. So this is a powerful prayer. The season of Lent with certain themes helps us to prepare for Easter. It's like we're just tapping into the strength of the right. Church, something much bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. And I think you just said a key word there, that it gives you pause, you know, and I think this is one of the great things about Father Looney's book, is that he really kind of focuses on the words themselves and kind of breaks down the theology and there's reflections. Yeah. And then there's a great, and again, mm-hmm, we're just kind of tapping into almost the great unknown, because mm-hmm, if this is something we're encountering, that we're entering into, into that mystery. Yeah. And so I think, again, whether we've been praying a lot or if we're new to prayer, this book will help us greatly.
Yes, so this is the first of two shows recorded with Father Edwards. So we'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill you with every good gift and grace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Just hearing your heartbeat, to know that you are growing in me. So baby, this is mommy, and I just want you to know that you are safe in me, cause I choose love. Purify me and make me what you want me to be. Said I'm ready.